Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in a world that is full of contrasts and seeming contradictions. During this past week, somewhere in this, certainly in this country at least, if not in this city, there were some old and established businesses that went under and failed, while some new businesses were just starting up and beginning. Or some stores that were closed and abandoned, while some new shopping centers were being built and opened up. Yesterday, somewhere, some elderly grandfather died, while some new baby was born into this world. Somewhere, someone drove out of the lot of a dealership with a brand new car, while some guy down the road had an accident and totaled his car or dropped his transmission. Last night, someone somewhere on a date found a new romantic relationship, while someone else was suffering from a broken heart of a relationship that had fallen apart. Our world just seems to revolve around those kinds of opposites and contradictions taking place all the time. And very often, we feel that we are caught in the middle of it all. We find ourselves so often in situations that pull us in opposite or many different directions. Day after day, we keep going through the same old routines in the hope that we can slip by this day without any major catastrophes happening, putting out any fires that spring up. Our own individual experiences often confirm for us that our world, in many ways, is out of control. Now, I don't know everything that's happening in each one of your lives right now. I don't know how difficult life might be right now for you. Maybe it's not so bad for you right now. Maybe things, in fact, are going quite well for you. But I do know that some of you are going through a very difficult time, and that sometimes the weight of those burdens, the pain and the grief that you might be feeling can be simply overwhelming. Perhaps you feel overwhelmed by the duties of life. Maybe you dread every day having to get up and go to work, fighting through congested traffic, having a boss perhaps who is in a bad mood and demanding more work from you than you feel that you have the capacity to accomplish. If you have kids, taking care of them takes a certain extra amount of energy and perhaps adds another layer of stress on your day. You have work that needs to be done around the house, but so very often you find that you just feel too exhausted to do it. You're trying to do it all under your own strength and power. You wonder whether you can keep it up much longer. On this last Sunday of the church year, we're at the New Year's Eve of the Christian year, so to speak. In a sense, we are summing up everything that we have heard from God's Word throughout the whole year, and it comes out in a short phrase, a resounding acclamation, Jesus is Lord. Yes, our lives certainly are pulled in opposite directions and are filled with many distractions and difficulties, yet ultimately, Jesus is Lord. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 that the God-man Jesus is ruling over and running the entire universe, that he keeps everything around us going. Our reading here from Colossians chapter 1 says that all things that exist were created through him, and all things hold together in him by his power. Later in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes that Jesus is all and is in all. Another translation puts it, he is all in all. Verse 15 of our reading says that Jesus is the image of God. In Jesus, we see the visible likeness of the invisible God. God makes himself known to us through Jesus. We understand God's heart and God's purpose because he sent his own Son to become one of us, to live among us here on this earth in order to make God the Father and His will, and especially His love, known to us. So we're not trapped in the world. Rather, we are pilgrims in a world that is in the hands and under the control of our gracious, loving God. Because Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord of those elderly grandfathers who are dying and of those newborn babies who are just born into this world. He is the Lord of busy and stressed out working people. He gives us the means by which we can buy new cars or fix up old and broken down cars. He gives you the talents that you need to have an occupation in life to earn a living for yourself. Jesus is the very power of God. In the Bible, we see Jesus pictured in many different ways. He is light, true light. He is the good shepherd. He is the Lamb of God. But here in Colossians, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. That means that if your life is fraught with what you feel is more than you can simply handle at this time, if you feel frazzled and frayed and tattered, about to fall apart, Jesus offers you the power and the wisdom to put your life into His powerful hands. To do so without hesitation, without equivocation, because He is Lord. It's on the cross that we see His power and wisdom and love most clearly. The cross, paradoxically, is His time of glory. His cross is our glory, now and for all eternity. On the cross, He loved us as we are not able to love Him or each other. He gave His life so that we may have life, so that we may have peace in the midst of the confusion of this hectic and chaotic world, so that we may have strength in the midst of our times of weakness, so that we may have joy in the midst of times of great sorrow. That is the kind of Lord who can deliver us from our profound dilemma of life. He says that now we live under another domain. A domain, perhaps for some of you in the science field, you know that a domain is an area under the control or within the sphere of a certain kind of knowledge or study. In politics, a domain is some area in which a lord or master or some other authority exercises that power and authority. The Apostle Paul here says that Jesus is our Lord. He has delivered us out of the domain of darkness, out from under the control of sin and death and the devil's power. Instead, He has transferred us into His kingdom, His domain, where He rules with authority. He rules this kingdom with His grace, through the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through Him. Jesus conquered the domain of darkness, of sin and death, by His own death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. And through baptism, we have that close connection with Him, such that the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 that through baptism, we have died with Him to sin, and we have risen with Him and have a new spiritual life within us, so that we are no longer slaves under the control of sin and the devil. Jesus changes the way that we think about ourselves, the way that we think about life in this world, and the way that we think about God. Jesus doesn't trap us in His domain under His control. We could walk away from His domain anytime we want, but when we know His genuine, authentic love for us, because the Holy Spirit has awakened faith in our hearts to trust in the gospel promises of forgiveness and eternal life through Him, then we are drawn to hold on to Him and to remain willingly, gladly in His kingdom of grace. In verse 15 of our reading, Paul calls Jesus the firstborn over all creation. Now that might be a little bit confusing to us. Isn't Jesus eternal? Isn't He the true eternal God? How can He be called the firstborn? Well, it doesn't mean that Jesus had a beginning and that he is not eternal. It doesn't mean that he was created by God the Father. No, Jesus is the firstborn of all creation in the sense of he has that status and that position of authority. Just as in ancient times, you might know that the firstborn son was the one who got the special birthright from his father and not the second or third or any other son. So Jesus is the firstborn of God the Father with the status and the authority that no one else but him has. We read that through him all things in heaven and on earth were created. All earthly dominions, rulers, and authorities were created through him and for him because he is before all of them. He is in a position of power and prestige and authority above them all. In verse 18, we read that he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And so we know that if he has risen from the dead, then his body, the church, we believers, we will also rise from the dead just as he has. He seals you with his promise that just as he has risen from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection, so you also will rise by his power and lordship. Because he is the Christ, the Savior. He is all in all. He is the Lord. Under the dominion of Jesus as Lord, we have our true beginning as his people. Before our baptism and before we came to faith in Jesus as our Savior, we were in the domain of darkness, totally controlled by the sinful nature that lives within us, without any light of spiritual life in us. Yet in baptism, God put his own name on us. He marked us with a cross on the head and heart as a sign that we have been raised to new life together with Jesus, our Savior. And so now, by God's grace, we no longer love the darkness in which we were misled to believe that we could simply go along in life comfortable in our sinfulness because no one else could see us there in the darkness. No, now instead we love the light in which he is our warmth, our direction, and our very sustenance because he is Lord. In baptism, God brought us safely into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In his kingdom, you have great value to him. Jesus paid the ultimate price to be your Savior. He was pulled in opposite, anguishing directions with the weight of the world's salvation on his heart. After his baptism, the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil tempted Jesus to look for power and for glory in the things of this world. But Jesus' refutations of the devil's temptations declared that we live only by the word of God. And therefore, we must serve and worship God alone. And then at the end of his public ministry in the Garden of Gethsemane, as the suffering of the cross that he knew was coming the very next day loomed large before him, weighed heavily on his heart, Jesus was torn between the temptation to save himself, to abandon that path of suffering, or to fulfill the will of his heavenly Father and suffer that agonizing death on the cross and the spiritual agony of being forsaken by God the Father because of our sins. And so at that time, you may recall that Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father an anguished prayer, saying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me." Meaning, if there's any other way that the salvation of the world can be accomplished aside from this great suffering, let that be. But ultimately, Jesus concluded his prayer saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And of course, we know that then, the next day, on the cross, he was mocked with calls for him to save himself if he really is the Christ, the Savior that God sent into the world. But he knew that the Christ, the Son of God, must endure the cross All of that was the price that he paid to be our Savior from sin, to be our Lord. Jesus has brought us on a long journey, a journey out of the domain of darkness into the marvelous light of his kingdom of love. He wants us to live confidently and securely as his people, loving him and others because we have first been loved by him, strong and secure because we receive strength from him, confident that we are redeemed because he has bought us back from our sins. He has taken possession of us as members of his family. We can be certain, we are certain, that we now belong to him. Jesus is Lord. So, dear brothers and sisters, live in the peace and love of his forgiveness. Amen.